meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight working on the Cranky Anchors. Dr. Drew back in Los Angeles working on nothing.
And you
phone number 1-800-LOV. What's that, buddy?
You sound like crap.
Yay, buddy. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191 in the studio tonight back in Los Angeles. Joins us, she's a dear friend of mine, Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live. Rachel?
Yes. Hello.
How are you? I'm sorry I missed you.
And I know. I'm sad that I don't get to
she's very sad.
Lay eyes upon
she
you.
She confirmed your dear friend qualification. Said, I don't know. Adam's my brother's friend. He wrote me into this. I don't understand.
I just got here a second ago.
Dear friend.
She's a dear, dear friend. Well, Rachel's brother, Dan, has worked on The Man Show for a number of years now and is an excellent writer as well as a dear
friend.
Dear friend. And we started sucking up to Dan a few months ago trying to get him to get his sister Rachel on the show. Evidently, he doesn't have a lot of pull with you, but we got him some Coldplay tickets.
Okay.
There we go.
That softened
Coldplay.
Dan.
Now it's coming clear.
Just enough for him to get you on the show. And let me kiss Rachel's ass for just a moment. And Rachel,
no, please, don't hold back.
I don't have your bio in front of me, and I don't know if you're plugging a movie.
It's very extensive.
I assume it is, but
Two movies, Adam.
Two movies coming out.
No.
Down Drew, with
you
Love.
You can plug those, but hold on a second. Now, Rachel has been on SNL for three years. I was going to say three, and then I thought, no, it'd be more insulting if I went under, so I decided to go over. But she started off as you wouldn't even known she was on the show for the first season.
No.
I know, but it's true.
I didn't realize you thought that.
No, I didn't think that.
Okay.
I knew you because your brother's a dear friend of mine.
Dear friend. Yeah.
Yeah. But you were not one of the
featured player.
You were a featured player.
Means you're like in the minors.
Right.
And then they make sure they want to keep you.
Yeah, and you made it through the toughest times, and now you're emerging as a star on the show.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty damn good.
I'm still sometimes in the minors, but, you know, it's kind of a roller coaster. Sometimes you're on all over the show, and sometimes you have one line.
Well, that's true, but as soon as you establish yourself as one of the main players, then you can take a week off. You know, if you have a game, Barry Bonds can go 0-for-4.
You're resting up your arm.
They're not going to cut him from the team.
Exactly.
Right, and that's what I want to say about my dear friend, Rachel Dratch.
Okay.
Now, plug those movies, Drew.
Drew? Okay.
Rachel can. Go ahead.
Okay, I have very small parts in these movies, but it's like my first little movie thing. So, no, one of them doesn't come out till April, and it's called Down with Love with Renee Zellweger, and I have 5 lines. But it's a really good movie, so that's all.
Rachel, when Adam has 2 lines in a film, he talks about it for about a month. So
okay. No, it's a good movie, though. It's going to be really good. So, that's
and the other one.
The other one?
Has ethnic flair.
Oh, that one. Okay. I don't know if this one... When this will come up? It's called The Hebrew Hammer. It's a Jewish James Bond movie.
Adam Goldberg.
That was Drew's name in high school.
Really?
That one that got on the football team.
Oh, yes.
Actually, it's The Hebrew Hammer.
Okay.
It's all right.
And I have probably 3 lines in that one. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, well, I'll watch anything with the word Hebrew in
it. Okay.
I'll eat anything with the word Hebrew in it.
All right.
It's always been my policy.
Okay, good.
All right, and Saturday Night Live, when do you go back to work on that?
The first show back is October 5th. So we start
and how
up
many,
a week from Monday.
How many episodes do you guys do?
20.
Because I'm never sure how that works. I just know there's the new ones and then the reruns.
Right.
So.
I don't know how that works either. I just look at the schedule. But, yeah, we have 20 a year. Somewhere from September to May, yeah. Hmm.
Do they always do 20? Have they done 20 for the last 20 years?
For the last 3, they have. I don't know about before that.
It seems about right, but
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they did a 25 or 30, but we're not interested in the past.
Right. Let's focus on the present.
All right. And speaking of the present, Drew, you got some calls there?
Speaking of the present, I just wanted to mention one other thing. I hadn't been on California terra firma for about 20 minutes before people were telling me how severely you'd be abused poor Bruce.
Oh, untrue.
I mean, it just sounded like the
Dale Hoyt. Was Bruce last night?
And Sunday
yes.
night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Untrue. It's true. I was a little sleep deprived. No, Bruce is not the Mormon.
Sorry, I listened last night in anticipation.
He's just as bad as a Mormon as Bruce. I think he's like born again or something. I don't know what Bruce is, but Bruce is a dear, dear friend, Drew, and how dare you make these allegations what we have.
I'll call old Bruce. Here's Michelle, 22. Michelle.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I have a question. My fiancé, we're getting married, or we're supposed to be getting married December 14th of this year, and I've already caught him early in the relationship talking to somebody else.
Talking to somebody else? What does that mean?
He was trying to get into a relationship with him, or with this girl.
Do you know that just because he was having a verbal exchange with her?
No. I have the proof behind it from his friends, his cell phone bills, from talking to her, talking to her friends.
All right, so he wasn't...
I did a lot of investigating. I don't really open my mouth without having the proof.
How long ago was this, Michelle?
About 2 months ago.
How long have you been in this relationship?
Well, we've been friends like.
How long have you been in the relationship? How long have you been in the relationship?
For about 4 months.
All right, and you're thinking about getting married?
Yeah. Well,
are you high?
No. We've been best friends for 4 years, and like I've always run away from him because he's been so great to me. I've always felt like, oh, I don't deserve this, and. This time, he's really screwing everything up.
Well, wait a second. What do you mean he was talking to a girl trying to get into a relationship?
He was trying to date her.
That's what she said.
No, actually, he admitted it. After I listened to her voicemails, he had left.
All right. I can't figure this out, Adam. I don't know about you, but the only thing I can tell for sure, she should not be getting married.
No.
That's the only thing I know for sure.
Well, also, this is kind of graphic, but yeast infections, I don't know if you know how they work, but I have not had one since I was 11 years old, and I have one now, and I swear to God it's from him because I haven't changed my eating habits.
All right, Michelle, a couple things.
I'm very clean.
First of all,
everything.
Wait a minute. It'd be very difficult for you to tell the difference between a yeast infection and a sexually transmitted disease. So if you think
it is. I've gone to the doctor.
And it's just yeast infections can occur from anything. They can occur just from stress. So you may be just.
I haven't been stressed though.
Well, do you spread yeast infections that way?
You really don't. You don't.
Well, I heard you can if you
can.
You one girl and then you go and have sex.
Yeah, but that's really unlikely. You can spread vaginal infections, but yeast is not a typical one. It can happen, but that's not hard evidence. Okay.
Okay.
But you shouldn't be getting married. That's pretty clear. You only know the guy for 4 months in a relationship. I understand you've been friends for 4 years, but come on.
What? Drew, relax over there. I don't understand what she wants us to tell her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's not cheating. He's cheating. What do you want from us?
It's not really that. It's just if I should get married to him.
No. Okay, next call.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, listen, no 22-year-old should be getting married anyway. You know, if you guys had a kid and you'd been together for 2.5 years, maybe that's a different story. But
right.
If this guy's trying to date, which is much worse than cheating, by the way. This guy's trying to date as close as 2 months ago, and you have some suspicions surrounding yeast. It just doesn't sound like she wants to do it.
It doesn't sound like a good idea. Whether or not it's something screwed up in her head, and he's actually doing nothing, or if he's actually engaging in behaviors that she should be worrying about. In either case, she shouldn't be getting married.
That's right.
Rachel, you agree?
Yes, I agree.
See how easy that is?
This
is easy.
Rachel,
I'm getting the hang of this, but this much I know.
Are you single? Are you seeing somebody?
Yes, I'm single. I'm single. I'm in no position to be giving anyone advice about anything.
How come?
I don't know. I haven't dated anyone in a while.
That's all right.
Well, how does it work? Rachel, that was amazing math. You're single because you haven't dated.
but I've been single for a while, so.
Yeah, well, I'm just
here to observe.
Well, how does being on Saturday Night Live affect a single woman?
Oh,
because a single guy would be cashing in on it.
It's great, I think, from my observations.
Yeah.
Single lady, I don't know the comedy thing and women. I don't know. I haven't figured it out. I'm still doing research.
Is it intimidating, you think, to guys?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I'm gonna set you up.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm gonna work something out with you.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
I'm even thinking of donating some of my sperm to you so we can have a super hybrid of comedic person.
All right.
Wouldn't that be great, Drew?
Comedic what?
Super comedian. We'll create a super comedian. You know what I mean? Instead of me knocking up some cocktail waitress and giving birth to a dullard,
right.
I'll nail Rachel and we'll have a super improvisational comedian.
Let's be fair here. You're not nailing her.
You're just donating.
Right.
I didn't know there was a difference, but we can get into that
all
later.
All right. When we see you in person.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you don't actually have to see. You don't have to see me. You can send me.
No, I think it's important to have him sit down.
It's difficult if he's not in the studio.
Tara.
Okay.
18.
Okay, question is.
Yeah.
Actually, it's my ex-boyfriend that I'm worried about.
All right.
Well, what happened was that he dumped me like 8 months ago.
He dumped you 8 months ago and you haven't gotten over him. How long was that relationship?
Like 2 months.
So a two-month relationship. This sounds like, Adam, your 18-year-old year.
Yeah, except for I was crying and beating off. I hadn't even been dumped yet. I hadn't even worked up to being dumped yet
at
18.
When was that one where you had that short relationship that you were dumped and you ended up crying outside her sorority and all that stuff?
That was like a good 7 month relationship, and I only pined for about 3 years.
Okay, I beg your
after
pardon.
After it was done.
It's 2 months for every year. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
2 months, 8 months, same.
Right. So, I don't know. I could have been 20.
Yeah, okay. So, it's the same kind of thing that Tara's going through, which is not uncommon for somebody your age to get these very intense attachments and then have difficulty getting over them. Was this the first guy you slept with?
No.
Did you sleep with him?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Usually...
Right after that, I slept with my boyfriend. So, I have a problem.
What?
See, I've got a boyfriend now, but I'm still not over my ex.
I would get that.
Hmm. And why did you take the new boyfriend then if you weren't that into him?
Well, because I thought I was over my ex, but now that he's back, I'm not over him.
What do you mean he's back?
Well, he went somewhere for like 8 months and he came back.
Where'd he go?
Why did you two break up?
Like 8 months ago.
Why?
Well, because he was moving somewhere and he decided to come back. And I don't do long distance relationships very well.
Listen, this is one of those nights, Adam. He decided to break up with you solely because he was moving. Is that accurate?
Exactly.
Where did he move?
Like California.
And you're in Nevada somewhere, right? And he came back now by what?
Because he had to go to school.
Came back to go to school?
Yeah.
Why did he know that when he left 8 months ago?
I don't know. How old is this guy, Tara?
Hold on. Let me put her on hold for a second.
Yeah, okay.
First off, let's have Brian get her address off the air since she is in the state of Nevada.
Is she going to be part of your class action suit? Or
I'm in Nevada myself.
Oh,
I'm just saying, you know, I could dry up the tears, you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
But here's the deal, and I don't know if you're thinking this, Drew and Rachel, but I'm guessing this two-month relationship wasn't much of a relationship in the first place.
I for some reason, am convinced this guy is a total idiot. And
well, there's no doubt about that, but she's unclear on the details of the breakup, which says to me that the guy probably wasn't into the thing in the first place.
That's right. I get that everything about this is fantasy, and she's defending, telling us the truth. That's why it's so confusing to talk to her. It's like, well, what? We can't figure out what's going on. She won't let us know what's going on. That's the problem.
Okay.
It's all
defense. So what should we do with her?
Do you want to try to get the truth out of her?
I'll try one more.
Like,
let me talk to her for a moment.
All right.
Okay. Tara.
Yeah.
He is back in town now, and back in town is in Nevada, right?
As in Carson City.
Okay, and you know he's back in town. Why?
Because he contacted me.
And what does he say?
Well, that he wants to get back together, but...
He wants to get back together or he wants to have sex?
He wants to get back together.
Hmm. And how does he say that? He says, I would like you to be my girlfriend again?
Yeah.
Those words?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in a relationship that's how old now?
Going on 3 months.
3 months. And you're not that into this guy?
No, I'm into the guy I'm with now.
Yeah, but not that much.
No, I'm into him, like, really much.
All right, then what's the phone call about? Then you seem very clear. You want to stay with your present boyfriend? No problem.
Well, yeah, I want to stay with him, but the problem is I can't get over the other guy.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You've been over him.
Really, if you're really into somebody that you're with, you can easily get over other people. That's nonsense to me.
Maybe she felt rejected by the first guy because he was moving. So then it's sort of this thing of like, oh, but he wants me back.
He is the unavailable guy, and that's why she's
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yes.
Oh, wait. Rachel just dropped a little clue for you. You see what I'm saying? When you actually set her up on the date, make sure the guy's an idiot. Make sure he's not available. Make sure he mistreats her.
No, I'm over that phase. I'm over that phase.
But you understand that
kind of thing. But I've been there. Yeah, that's why I get it. Yeah.
That's why you're alone now.
Well, because now I want the available guy.
The real thing, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You women, you always come back to you always want the nice guy at the end of the party. That's how it works.
Right. All right, Dave, 25.
Hey there, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
I'm calling about my sister, basically. When she was in high school, she's 28 years old now, but when she was in high school, she was pursued by her English teacher, and the relationship went on for a little while. They kept it a secret from my parents, and they kind of concealed the whole thing, but my parents eventually found out. They confronted the guy. He promised it would end, but it didn't, so my parents involved the school's administration, and they basically forced him to resign. When he resigned, it was kind of kept secret to kind of protect my sister's privacy and to make it so that it wasn't a big news thing. And she kind of moves on with her life. She, like I said, she's 28 now.
That was a big mistake, by the way. So, and your sister moved on with her life, and this guy moved on to pursue more teenagers.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy, yes.
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, they're looking back at it and they're thinking the same thing, because now what's happened is the guy's moved on, and years later, now he's the principal of a middle school.
Oh, good times.
In this area.
Fantastic.
So I'm kind of calling to figure out how to handle this. Do I talk to her about it? Do I go to talk to the school's administration about it?
Let's ask a couple of questions.
All right.
And first off, imagine the balls on this guy. You get confronted. You get busted. The parents could essentially send you to jail, and they say, look, just stay away from my daughter, and we'll forget about it, and you can move on with your life, and you still come back.
Oh, yeah. That's an idiot.
Yeah. Right. That's world class right there. Yeah. Now, how old was your sister when this guy began the relationship?
As far as I know, it went from her freshman year of high school through
14. 14, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Is that 14?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Maybe there's a huge difference between 14 and 17, you know?
But it's not 17. 17 is
right.
Sophomore, a junior or senior. It's the end of high school.
Right, okay. So this guy needs to, something needs to be done with this guy, because freshman year, that is, you know, hey, bang all the seniors you want. That's always been, my father was a substitute school teacher, and he used to tell me, son, seniors, game on. But freshmen, even my dad wouldn't do the freshmen. Yeah,
Dave.
He was a sophomore, man.
I think, Dave, you need to go to someone in the administration of the school. You know, they need to deal with it as they please. I imagine this guy is going to fight it and be a real pain in the ass about it, but at least he'll be on notice that people are watching.
Right. What do you think your sister would say if you spoke to her?
That's kind of one of the questions I had for you. Should I consult her first, or should I go around her? I mean, what I'm afraid of is going around her, and then it eventually gets back to her, and she finds out that I went and pursued this without her knowing.
Well, how would they even know who your sister is?
If they trace it back to the previous school worked at, they'll eventually...
Yeah, but hold on. Drew, you always work this angle. You think people can go to the cops and start laying out names and they're not going to ask any questions or go to the principal? People want evidence. People are going to want examples of this. I mean, they're going to need to want to know what year and who it was, and they're going to want to see a little paperwork, I'd imagine. I don't know if anything exists, but You can't just have some guy come in on hearsay and get a guy fired.
No, I'm not saying that they probably they would not fire him, I would expect, even if he gets the evidence. I think, though, the idea is that you got to monitor this guy very carefully.
I think I would talk to your sister about it.
Yeah, I personally, I would talk to an attorney about it, too. Really would.
If I go in and tell the school about this, am I liable for anything?
That's what why I would talk to an attorney, to see if you can get yourself in trouble by doing so. But you need to do this.
Yeah.
Protect yourself, but this needs to be done.
What do you do for a living, Dave?
What do I do?
Yeah.
I do software development for a bank.
All right. Can't you hack into this guy's computer or something and erase his line of credit or something? Can you do one of those good movie things? You can't do that?
I'm going to do crank anchors on this guy.
Yeah. All right, buddy. All right, Dave. Hey, God bless Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing the right thing.
Yeah. Speaking of crank anchors, you're doing out in Nevada, isn't it?
That's what I'm doing in Nevada. I'm doing crank anchors because crank anchors cannot be done in California.
I want to go to Hawaii. Yay! I want to go to Hawaii.
Yes. I sat next to Jim Florentine while he talked like a retard for 4 hours today.
Nice.
Yeah. Writing down jokes on a Marks-A-Lot board while a comedian pretends to be retarded and calls cafeterias and asks if they have pudding. Yay, pudding. What the hell's become of my life, Drew? Rachel, you understand, though. You're an artist.
Yes, I'm an artist.
Are you the one who wrote down pudding, Adam?
What's that?
Did you write down pudding?
No, that was pre-decided.
Oh, 'cause that's good.
I wrote down things like large pudding and nummy.
Oh, my God.
Hell, yeah. All right, should we take a little break here, Drew?
Yes.
Tasty.
Rachel Dratch is joining us tonight. She, of course, is from Saturday Night Live. She's a dear friend who wouldn't be here unless we'd gotten tickets for her brother to go see Coldplay. But
yes.
I'll deal with Danny on my own terms.
Okay, good.
So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. I am in Las Vegas working on the cranky anchors, and Drew is back in Los Angeles. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rachel Dratch joins us tonight from Saturday Night Live.
Hello.
Going into your fourth season?
Yes.
Yes. And let me just tell you guys a little something about gambling. Because this whole gambling thing has not worked out for me at all in the last, 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever supposed to work out?
No. But, you know, you figure if you just come out and you play $100, couple hundred bucks, and you play 21, and you come out to Vegas 10 times a year, three times out of those 10 times, you might win.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Here's the problem with me. I don't want to gamble. I'm forced to gamble because of the guys I hang out with.
Right.
And here's exactly how my life works in gambling. It became crystal clear in the lobby of the Bellagio today when Daniel Kellison, Diamond Daniel Kellison.
Of course.
You know Diamond
well. Yes.
Yes, he is he's the boss of Rachel's brother who works on the man show.
Right.
Diamond likes to gamble. And, I mean, he'll get up 18 grand over here if he's here for a couple days.
Oh,
And Cousin Sal, Jimmy's Cousin Sal, who's... It's unfair to people who have a gambling problem to say he has a gambling problem because this guy's essentially a bookie. All I want to do is check into the hotel at 7 o'clock at night. We're done with work. I want to go to my room, take a little nap, and come to Loveline. And he says, we're going to play one hand. We'll just put $100 down on it. We'll keep walking right through the casino.
Oh,
and I say, well, good luck, fellas.
Yeah, right.
And they say, seriously, give me $100. You check in, we'll play one hand for you, that'll be that.
Oh.
Either you win or you lose. And I think to myself, I can't just continuously lose. It's impossible that I lose nonstop for the rest of my life. And Daniel wins a lot, and so does Sal. So I'll give my $100 to Daniel. You play one hand. I'm going to check in, and I'll see at the table. Just one hand, $100. The hand he plays, now, he sits down at the table, and they deal him blackjack.
Daniel.
With my $100.
Daniel?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my.
King and an ace. But guess what the dealer has?
Blackjack.
Blackjack. And by the way, I just got back from Reno, and I was playing blackjack all night and never got one goddamn blackjack. They shouldn't even be. I have to call it 21. I can't even call it blackjack because that does not exist in my lexicon. But I did get blackjack. And the dealer got blackjack, so they let it ride.
Oh.
And they played one more hand, and of course they busted on that one.
Yeah, of course.
But now, how often do you get blackjack and not win?
Especially one hand.
You play one hand and you get blackjack. Go ahead, Rachel.
I'm one of those girly gamblers who, like, I played the slot machines a couple times, and then once I got sucked in by that game that the quarters are supposed to fall over the edge of the thing. You know that
game?
Oh,
yes. Yes, they have the little push hands on
there. Yes. That thing is a scam. Don't do it, Adam.
No, what do
you
do?
I know you're tempted.
I know, but here's... You flip the quarter up.
No, you drop a quarter and it falls, and, like, all the quarters are poised over the edge.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're all going to come crashing down, but only, like, two...
Ever do.
Yeah. Stay away from that thing. This is my girly gambler guy.
Yeah, but how much, I mean, seriously, you could lose $33 playing that for an hour and a half?
I don't know. I lost 100 in the slots. To me, that's a lot of money. I don't know. I guess hanging out with Sal, that's like chump change.
Yeah.
But
that was over the course of
many hours, right? Yeah.
That's nothing.
I've never won anything in Vegas.
The thoughts of these things are games of chance is incorrect. They're adult entertainment. It's an entertainment fee you're paying. For the privilege of having fun gambling. But it's not a game of chance.
You know, one thing I didn't know either until I spoke to the woman who picked me up from the airport, who used to work for, like, Mandalay Bay, is, you know, when these high rollers, when they bring them into town, they give them a line of credit, 50 grand, 100 grand, 500 grand. They don't pay it up if they lose a couple hundred grand when they leave, oftentimes.
They
have 30 days to pay it.
Right.
So imagine this. You come into Vegas, you lose a couple hundred grand, you go back home to New York, and you got someone calling you a week later saying, we're going to need the 200 grand.
Nice.
Drew, how insane would you go? I mean, it's one thing to lose it while you're at the table.
Yeah.
And they did lose it at the table, but it's got to hurt that much more paying 200 or 300 grand 3 or 4 weeks later when you're back at home and your wife wants to know what the hell's going on.
Oh,
true.
I can't even, my brain won't go there.
All right. Let's go to some calls.
I'm having a panic attack. Tammy's 25.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I'm having a problem. I've been seeing a certain person off and on, which is one of my best friends for 9 years. Well, I'm currently seeing him, but I've never been able to have an orgasm with him, with anybody else. In between time when I haven't seen him, no problem. Even by myself, no problem. I don't know what the problem is with him, though.
Can you give us what?
The good news is that if he's listening, he'll kill himself and he won't have to deal with this problem anymore.
Can you give us any hints? Is there anything about the act with him that makes it different?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because I'm too self-conscious around him.
Why are you self-conscious?
Well, I used to be a little bit bigger. Right now I'm about 130 pounds, 5'7". And before I used to be about 180, but I always had this in my mind that he wanted somebody slimmer. So throughout time, it first became a thing to lose weight for him, but throughout time, it was just a mental thing with me where I had to be toner to be happy for me, not for
anybody else. Yeah, but now here you are, and
I'm still having a problem.
But what is it with this relationship? It was a 9-year friendship, but you kind of had benefits, but he was kind of your boyfriend, but he kind of wasn't. What's up here? What's up? What is the deal?
That was the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. And no wonder you can't be vulnerable with him. You're never really connected to him. You never can be vulnerable because he's going to take off or he won't let you in.
Yeah. I feel that's a problem. Like, maybe it's because, you know, we've been too close as friends, or maybe it's because I still feel too self-conscious.
No, look.
All right, wait a minute.
Here's the deal. Adam, let me just cut through this really quick. He still considers this a friendship. He doesn't consider it a boyfriend so much, right?
Exactly.
If we were to ask him, he said, well, I've got this Tam. She's great. Whenever I need to have sex, she's always available. Of course you can't be intimate with him.
So please,
what do you think is going on? This guy's probably has other girlfriends. I mean, what are you doing?
Well, as of right now, he doesn't. He's totally different from when he was before. He is more attentive. He's more affectionate. Before, he was going through a little problem where he was on some, I guess he was taking crank or something, but he's been through rehab. He's a total loser, what you guys are thinking, but he's totally regrouped from that for more than 4 years now.
He's sober 4 years, doesn't use any pot or any alcohol.
No.
He doesn't use anything. Okay. And then,
okay, well, let me ask a couple questions. First off, can you regroup alone? That's number one. Don't answer. Just think about
it. You mean without treatment?
Just think about it.
What do you mean alone?
I just mean, is it mathematically possible to regroup?
Yes, right.
Can one person regroup?
Right.
Again, don't answer it. Let's all just think on that for
a second. Rachel wants to kill herself right now.
No, I was laughing at that question. Yes. Can you regroup alone? That's all.
Thanks, baby.
That was a good one.
That's why you're
our super baby is going to be really funny.
Go on. Maybe we'll mix in some of Drew's sperm too, so he's got some book smarts. You know,
okay.
Does well on the SATs.
Right.
Knows how to save a buck. Lord knows he'll know how to save a buck. But
now Rachel's already got that part.
Okay, so Tammy.
Well,
she's been in a relationship with this guy. I agree with Drew.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, are you guys officially dating, or are you just hanging out?
Well, kind of, sort of, both, but I guess more on his level, it's more of just a friendship thing, but when we go out anywhere, he introduces me, but, you know.
Drew is right. I mean, you would like to be this guy's girlfriend, and he does not want to be your boyfriend.
That's it, period.
He has little intermittent periods when he's willing to sort of hang on to you for a while, but ultimately he's not interested. Ultimately, you know that, and ultimately you don't want to be vulnerable.
Because of that.
Give up the orgasm to him, and that's what it is. And your vagina's right. You ought to start listening to it.
Trust your vagina. Adam, that is a very good piece of advice.
Yes, you need to regroup with your vagina.
Because then you could regroup, right?
That's two.
There's two of you, yeah. Right. And trust the vagina. Trust the input from the vagina.
That's right. Yeah. Trust the vagina.
Lance, 19.
Yes.
What's going on, Lance?
Oh, not much. Is this Adam and Drew?
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
We're good.
Good. And Rachel Dratch, too, by the way.
Turn your radio down or TV or whatever that is.
I'm having a little trouble trying to find a girlfriend here in L.A. I moved here about 3 months ago, and I work on an ambulance now here in Englewood.
Where'd you move from? Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
I'll just hang up on this idiot, would you?
Okay.
Oh, my God. You guys are harsh.
Well, you know, the phone screeners tell them turn the radio down. It's the cardinal sin of calling in a radio show to have that radio up. And just get back to him in a little bit, Drew.
Okay.
All right?
He gets punished. Richard, 19.
Hi. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Love the show. I've been listening since Ricky Rackman.
Quite some time.
Thank you.
Adam was a great addition to the show, and Drew, his expertise is always there when you need it.
Thank you.
So I just had one quick question for Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do if I have itchy down there?
Itchy what? Down there?
I have itchy down there.
Come on.
You know, what can you do if you go to a Japanese spa?
Yeah.
And
Lord.
You come back with crabs. It's not this cool.
Right.
Do you know this guy?
No,
Rachel?
But now I see now I see how this works, because on the computer it says, how long did it take you to get on SNL?
I have itchy down there.
But in reality, it's I have itchy down there.
Right. See, the screeners are getting...
I don't know.
Stuff's getting past the screeners tonight.
Right, okay.
Let's try this one. What's that, Adam?
I was going to ask her, how did she get on SNL?
Well, I had itchy down there. And
that did it, huh?
I was at Second City in Chicago, which is an improv comedy theater extravaganza. And then SNL comes through, and they scout there and at the Groundlings in L.A., which, Adam, I believe you did for a while.
That's right.
Well,
that's
anyway. He was dismissed from the Groundlings.
I didn't know about that. But, so that's how, Adam.
That's kind of nice, though. I mean, do you ever just think about, I mean, if you grow up and you're doing comedy or you're dreaming of doing comedy, becoming a cast member on Saturday Night Live is really like growing up a baseball fan right. and playing center field for the Yankees.
In the World Series.
It is. Yeah. It's total dream come true job. Yeah, definitely. I'm completely appreciative of it.
Right.
It's except a fantasy for job.
The baseball analogy is not quite right because they make millions and millions,
millions true.
Of dollars.
True. But it's still fun, though.
All right.
Okay.
You want to take a break here, Drew?
Yep.
All right, Rachel Dratch is here from Saturday Night Live. I'm in Vegas. Drew's in L.A., and we'll be right back after this. We're back with Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Rachel Dratch has joined us in the studio tonight from Saturday Night Live. She's going into her fourth season, and I'm out here in Nevada working on some cranky anchors. Drew is in Los Angeles. Drew.
Yeah.
Who's coming in tomorrow night? Do you know?
No, 311.
311 tomorrow night. Always good to see 311.
Yeah.
They're dear, dear, dear friends, as Rachel Dratch is. Well, that's the whole thing. I have many dear...
Hang on. Anderson's playing some 311 music.
Wait a minute.
Yes, those are my dear friends.
Is that the new 311?
I have no idea, but the point... Point is Rachel's a dear, dear, dear friend.
I just need one more dear than 311.
Rachel Dratch is, she's a triple dear friend, whereas 311 is a double dear friend.
Okay, thank you.
Right. All right, Drew, what's happening?
Rachel went to college in New England, too.
I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys didn't go to the same college.
No, but I almost went, I almost went to Drew's college. I chose a different college, but I sort of wish I'd chosen Drew's.
Yeah, because then you could say you went to Drew's college, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what I wish I'd done instead of cleaning carpets in North Hollywood for 3 years. Oh. It's all right. I'll make it all back now.
She went to Dartmouth. It's a little different than cleaning carpets.
Dartmouth is good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's the name of the team in Dartmouth?
Well, it's a controversy because in the old days it was the Dartmouth Indians. And then, of course, that's politically incorrect. And now it's just Big Green.
When did they change that?
I don't know, in the 70s,
late 70s
or something?
Yeah.
And it was a big, like, there's still alumni that are pissed off about it.
And, Drew, what about, aren't the
Lord
Blue
Jeffs?
Bloods pissed
the
off that
they're
taking the Lord Jeff name?
Well, Lord Jeff was famous for killing a bunch of Indians and for having invented germ warfare. Put smallpox in a bunch of blankets and gave it to Indians.
That's my thing. As a white guy, I don't want any white mascot Lord Jeff types. when are us white people going to band together and get rid of the Lord Jeffs?
It's sort of bizarre, though, that having an Indian as a mascot is not considered something of an honor, and while Lord Jeff is okay.
Well, I understand the sort of generic Indian term, but I don't know. To me, the warrior and the brave, that kind of thing, that kind of thing's sort of a tip of the hat, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought.
You know what I mean? I mean, the Indian part I understand because the Indian is just sort of almost, it's a generic term, you know?
All right.
But warrior, that sounds pretty decent. And I didn't know it only pertained to American Indians. Do you know what I mean? I mean, weren't there great warriors in Grecian times?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't know but how they lay claim to the warrior part.
But maybe the visual.
It's the mascot part, yeah.
Right, it's the drunken guy who's riding a slot machine through, at halftime or each time they score the touchdown. I think that's the part they object to.
Right.
True. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a great mascot for an Indian? a drunken guy, you'd get him in, you get him in like one of those cigar store Indian kind of, you know, you give him that Indian with the hat and the long braids hanging down, and you'd have those zingers coming off his head so you knew he was drunk, like in a cartoon, and he'd be waving around a jug that had triple X's on it,
right.
And he'd be riding a horse that was done up like a slot machine.
Nice. Adam, you're a genius. Let's keep going here.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see.
Okay, go ahead.
You still bad about what?
I feel bad for that EMT who got cut off.
Yeah, he's still being punished.
Okay.
This is Katrina.
We can talk to him next one.
Katrina.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
My question is,
that in May, I slept with this guy. And he basically, we started having sex.
Basically?
Huh. Yeah. And when we were having sex, he asked me if he could take the condom off. And I told him, Cleo, no, we cannot have sex without a condom. And we continued having sex. But in the middle, I had to go to the bathroom. And when I came back, I didn't know he took the condom off. And we went back to having sex. And I asked him, do you still have a condom on? And he wouldn't answer me. And I didn't really figure it out until he pulled out and came between my legs.
So and pulled out before he ejected. So you didn't get pregnant. Okay.
No, I didn't. I went and got tested for that.
Okay, all right.
And my question is, I've been rolling this around since then, is like, could it be considered rape?
It's an interesting question.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't, I don't think it could be rape.
I wouldn't think
it could
rape,
be
I think
something.
Deception.
Yeah, it's something.
It's a little slimy.
Because, I don't know that you'd have to ask an attorney. It's a legal question.
No, it's not a great question.
It's not a great question.
It's not a legal question.
Well, what kind of question is it then? Is it technically was it rape?
No.
You have to look up the legal definition of rape then and then see if
No, but I mean, there are things you can do. I mean, if someone gives you a venereal disease, for instance, there's legal recourse.
Okay. Then he knew he had something?
He didn't tell me.
What did he give you? Warts.
He gave me genital warts on my cervix.
Yeah, of course. But that's hard to prove that that's where it came from, right?
I know he is between him and my boyfriend now, he is the only guy that I have had unprotected sex with.
Yeah, but even having unprotected sex, you can get the warts. Even having protected sex rather.
So where did you meet this dreamboat?
Over the internet.
No.
Oh, delightful. And how does it go when you say to the guy, oh, my God, was that painful. Did you guys hear that?
What was that?
I don't know, but if it happens again, I'm going into a post-traumatic stress fit.
We didn't really hear it loudly the way you did, I'm sure. You got
gurgle?
One of those no, it's like a satellite zap. It's like this very loud white noise in your head.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to have to clean my pants up now, so I'm not sure what my question was. But here's what I think my question would have been had I not been traumatized that way. How does it work where the guy's back in you and you're saying to him, do you got that condom on? And he's not answering.
I didn't know. And, well, I was just asking. I kept on asking him, and, like, he didn't answer me whatsoever.
That's the part I'm curious about. I mean, didn't you take him not answering as a sort of, as yes?
At least troubling?
Yes, I was ready to push him off before he pulled out.
So he pulled out right then, I see.
And you met him over the internet and had sex with him how soon after that?
We talked for a while, and he was just supposed to come up for the weekend, and we were going to go to the beach.
Katrina, what were you thinking?
Think about what that sounds like as a guy. He was just supposed to come up for the weekend.
Are you kidding? What Katrina! What were you thinking?
All right. She made a mistake. That's all right. So here's the deal. I just don't think you're going to be able to pursue this legally. I'm not saying this guy's not an a-hole, and I'm not saying you weren't victimized. I just don't know what the hell you would do about it at this point.
Oh, there's nothing,
Drew?
No, there's nothing you can do about it. But the question is, would that be actually a rape, or is there some other category of transgression that can be sort of...
I would think there is another category. I just don't think it would be rape.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's not fair to all the guys who actually rape that rape.
Maybe it's some sort of sexual assault or something. Could be. Anyway, but at this late day, what's she going to do about it? Thank God she has a boyfriend. Maybe she learned something from this.
This whole internet thing, boy.
Imagine if that had been around when you were 19. God.
You know what guys can do? I'm imagining, because I don't know anything about the internet, but guys can work the internet like they're fishing with five or six poles all in the water at the same time, you know, seeing what gets a nibble. I mean, you could have relationships going all over the country, and they could be in various stages, and they could all just be going simultaneously, and the whole idea is to come out there and visit them on the weekend.
Adam, you're scaring me.
You know what I mean, though?
You claim to know nothing about the internet, yet you seem to have masterminded an incredible scenario for how one would conduct oneself. Imagining, of course.
I'm imagining this is what guys do.
Of course, you're just imagining. I understand.
You get a
imagining.
Drew, oh, shut up.
All right, we got to take a break.
You know I don't. You
we
know
have
I
to take a
break. Turn on the goddamn computer, you
my,
idiot.
My, I think he doth protest
Jesus
too much.
Jesus Christ.
What do you think, Rachel?
Well, Drew, don't even kid around.
He's on the
please.
Defensive. My goodness. you are scaring me, goddammit.
I don't mind it when you make a joke once every 3 years, but please. I'm not offended at the allegation. I'm offended at your attempted humor. That's
okay. All right. That I accept. Okay, now you're starting to make sense again. We got to take a break.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Dr. Drew is back in Los Angeles. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Rachel Dratch is in studio tonight. She, of course, is on Saturday Night Live, going into her fourth season. And let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
I got to get myself a cab back from the studio tonight.
Are we going to go through this again?
Yeah, well, here's the question. How do you think I should play this? Because last time, I think I spoke about this at the end of the show.
Oh, yes.
I got a number from the cab that drove me in. And they said, just call this, at 11:45, and the cab will be there at 12.
No, cannot have.
I called at 11:45, and the cab dispatcher said, we don't do timed calls.
No.
You must call when you need the cab. And I said, well, I need the cab at 12, and it's 11:45. And she said, well, then call back at 12. And I said, well, how long does the cab take after I call back? And she said, 15 to 20 minutes. And I said, well, seeing as how it's 15 minutes from the time that I'd like to be picked up, why don't we just go ahead and dispatch the cab?
Yeah.
And she repeated the refrain, we do not take timed calls.
Oh.
And I said, but if and I need the cab in 15 minutes and it's 15 minutes to 12, then why not send the goddamn cab at 12? And she said, call back when you need the cab. And then I said, I need the cab now. And she said, oh, that was so painful.
We didn't get to hear that here.
Oh, my God. That was another big static blast. But she said she wasn't going for it. I couldn't fool her that easily. So I ended up getting a ride to the strip club with one of the brothers who worked
down
the hall at the Urban Station. But I don't know. Now, what would you do if you were me? Would you call tonight at 11:45 and say, I need a cab this moment?
Yeah.
Do you have an engineer you're working with?
Well, he's split.
Oh. Is there anyone? All right. Yes. I think
I'll
we ought
do
to.
That.
Yeah. Like 11, 10 to 10 to 12, we ought to give you a break. And you
10
go
to
make
12.
The, yeah. And you go make the phone call.
You know, when we break for our 11:38,
No, do it at 10:02 because you got it's a decent walk out to the street there and stuff, and you know it's the distances are big in that town.
All right,
you know what I'm saying?
All right, good times.
Here we go. This is Brian, who's 28.
Hey, Rachel, Adam, Dr. Drew, how you doing?
Brian,
good.
Rachel, I just wanted to know, like, what were you doing before you were before you started at Second City? And, like, did you have, like, a full-time job and then do Second City as, like, a second thing or something?
Well, I went to college and then I got involved in improv comedy there. And then I moved out to Chicago. And, I auditioned for the training center at Second City and I didn't get in right when I moved to Chicago. So I did temping. That was my main form of income, was just being a temp.
What kind of jobs did you have?
I worked in, like, I was just, like, a secretary person. Like, I worked for, a pediatrician, and I don't know, just all over town kind of thing. Oh, I also worked in a mental hospital for a summer, too, because I thought I might want to be in psychology, because I was still kind of not sure. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So then I finally, after like 3 years, I got into the touring company of Second City. And when you do that, you sort of go out here and there, and I was still temping. And then I got on the main stage, and once you're on the main stage, then you don't need another job. So yeah.
How much does that pay when you get on the main stage?
It pays like, I don't know, maybe like $500 a week or something. But in Chicago, that's totally enough to live off of.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get on the Groundlings main stage, you don't get any money.
I know. I've heard that. Yeah.
Actually, I was just in L.A. this past week checking out the Groundlings.
Oh, yeah?
So I was thinking about, like, I wanted to pursue that.
Uh-huh.
So I just wanted to ask you, like, about that and everything.
Well, I know, like, at Saturday Night Live, like, about half the people are from the Groundlings and maybe half are from Second City. And then a couple are stand-ups, a couple extras are stand-ups. But, yeah, the Groundlings, I don't know, Adam's done that, so he would know more. But I think they both, Second City and the Groundlings both basically have the same sort of sketch, you know, show, and with an emphasis on improv comedy. But they both have this sort of hierarchy that you have to start at the bottom and work your way up kind of thing.
Well, I did have a sort of a two-part question because I wanted to ask Adam, like, I just started doing stand-up also. And I just want, like, I'm trying to get into all this. And I know that Adam mentioned one time that he's done stand-up for a while and he hated it. And Adam was wondering, like,
how gay are you?
A while was, like, three times?
Oh, no. I did it off and on for years. I just never really got anywhere. I mean, I hated it because I didn't get paid anything and I wasn't any good.
It sucked, yeah.
You had to go wait in line at those long open mic nights, and guys abused you. You know, the guys who run those open mics when you do your stand-up are frustrated comedians, so they're abusive to other people that are trying to get into comedy, too. And I'd just like to take this moment to tell all of them to kiss my hairy ass. Yes, I'm literally a millionaire now. No thanks to you, jackholes.
Speaking of kissing your ass, here's Lance, who's 19.
I'm working here in Englewood.
He's the EMT, Adam.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah, I work on an ambulance. I was in the rig sitting in there. That's why the radio was on. My partner wanted to listen to it, so I'm sitting outside now.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time getting a girlfriend here in L.A. So every time I sit down to dinner, they ask what I do for a living. I tell them, and then they ask, you know, about the worst call I've ever been on. And after you tell them, they look at you in a totally different way. And it's just, it's hard to deal with that because after that, like, they'll stop calling you, and you can't get a hold of them for some reason. It gets really retarded after a while.
Well, what if you toned down the worst call you've ever been on? Like, now I'm thinking, I wonder how gory your description is. I don't know.
No, it's not that bad. No, like, I'll tell them, the worst call I've ever been on, I saw a six-year-old get hit by a car, but, I mean, other than that, you just, anything you tell them, even if you tell them, you know, I don't really like to talk about that kind of stuff. Girls,
well, listen, you gotta do what Drew did when he was in medical school and he was trying to date underclassmen. You just do that thing where you ham it up a little bit. You talk about saving lives, and it gets a little boring playing God. And one time you had to do emergency tracheotomy using a ballpoint pen to save the Pope's life, who had rolled his Pope-mobile or something. I mean, you got to embellish it a little bit. You got to make it a little more glamorous.
But Adam,
you know what
I'm
saying?
Put your Loveline hat on for a second and think about the fact that he's blaming it all on this. And no way.
No, it's not all that. I mean, I've had a girlfriend before, but it's just lately because I moved here 3 months ago.
Oh. Yeah, but it's because you scraped up a six-year-old and brought them to the hospital that they won't date you?
Scrape them up. It's not. I'm not saying that. I mean, I've gone out on dates with him. It's just.
All right. Just think about that reaction for a second, Adam. Just think about how that he made you feel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think he's a jack-off.
There you go.
All right. But also, I said just because you scraped up a six-year-old and took them to the hospital.
He gets angry.
And he said, I didn't scrape them up. I went on dates with them.
No, no.
Probably not a great listener.
Yeah.
All right.
But
so
3 months isn't. I mean, 3 months. If that's pretty. You're new to L.A., right?
Well, now that he expects,
I'm trying to make excuses.
He expects in 3 months of.
I know some
landed someone.
Right.
It's like, hey, come on.
No, but Drew, isn't it true that every time we talk to a guy who's having a little trouble with the ladies, after a couple sentences, we understand why he's having a little trouble with the ladies?
And it's even more obvious when they blame it on something completely spurious.
Right.
They want to blame it on something. You go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because it has nothing to do with it.
Here's the through line, and Rachel.
Yes.
Oh, my God, there goes that thing again.
No.
I swear I am going to have to kill myself.
Does it sound
that
something
is
like,
crazy.
Does it sound a little like this?
No.
Anything?
It sounds a little like that.
Yeah.
But much, much worse than that.
Yeah, whiter and louder.
This is really loud and really staticky. Okay, I'm unnerved now, officially unnerved. Are you happy, Anderson?
Okay, let's go on with our calls.
No, here's what I want to say. these guys have difficulty scoring with women because they don't treat women like they're human beings.
Right.
And I'm not saying you should treat women like human beings, but you can't let them know that you're not treating them like human beings.
Oh, my God.
His whole thing is he's trying to pick an angle.
Yeah.
You know these guys we're talking about all the time? They treat picking up a woman like they treat catching a marlin.
Right.
They want to figure out the right time to do it and the right bait to use, and then they start blaming other extraneous
Yeah, the wind was wrong.
When it doesn't do
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah, they're not human beings, and the thing that women pick up on is that they're not human beings,
yep.
And they're not treating them like human beings.
Right. That's right.
Thank you.
This is Danielle, 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry.
What's going on?
I actually had a question because...
What are you sorry about? We haven't even talked to you yet. Why are you sorry?
What?
Why are you sorry?
Oh, because I'm just kind of nervous.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Deep breath. Deep breath. And go.
Okay. So I had a question. I'm talking to my stepdad right now, and he was actually, he wasn't charged with child abuse, but... supposedly, he sexually molested my little sister, my older sister. Now, they have doctor's proof that he did sexually molest my little sister.
Mm-hmm.
But now she, like, wants to see him and stuff, and mm. I don't know if it's a good idea.
Is that his biological daughter?
Yes.
And how old is she?
She'll be 16 next month.
Wow.
New. And why were you talking to him about this?
Well... Oh, I was been talking to him about it. He's been... I've just been talking to him, you know, just talking. And,
uh-huh.
And so he asked me, you know, if I could, you know, make it so that they could communicate.
Didn't you ask Adam why she's talking to him?
No.
Well, I did mean why she talking to him about this, which is the way she initially sort of phrased it. But as it turns out now, well, maybe she is talking to him about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Are you talking to him about this?
Well, I don't ever talk about him being ever molesting them because he says he never did.
And
I see.
So has the court separated him from the children?
Yes.
All right. So he needs to talk to his attorney about getting things back. You should have nothing to do with this.
And what about the older one? How old is she?
22.
And how come you weren't molested?
Well, I don't really remember a lot. He used to beat me up.
Oh my God. Why do you communicate with this?
I don't know.
S head.
I don't know.
And what's up, listen, as I've always said, you know, this guy deserves all the abuse you can hand out, but Mom deserves a nice swift kick in the crotch too.
Yes.
Well, my mom
bringing this a-hole home.
My mom is mentally ill, and we got taken away from her when we were 10.
My God, Danielle.
Well, then how did this guy get into the picture?
Well, he was allowed to see us for a while, but then, you know, the court intervened and said he was not allowed to see us anymore. And then I went to a group home because I started getting into trouble.
Mm.
And then we connected, and I just started talking to him. And that's, like, one question. I don't understand, like, why I talked to him. I don't understand.
Hold on a second. I want to get something straightened out here.
Okay.
This guy's your stepdad.
Right.
But he has a biological daughter as well who's 16.
Yes.
And another biological daughter who's 22.
No, that's his stepdaughter.
That's your sister.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Danny, let me answer your question. Why do you keep going back to an abusive a-hole who abused your sisters, who was responsible for you being homeless, basically? And it's really the same thing that young children do. When you've been highly, severely traumatized, as you have been in childhood, it arrests your development, the emotional development, the character development. And so some of the strategies, some of the behaviors you manifest end up being the same as they would have been if you were 6 years old or 8 years old. And one of the things young children do is that no matter how awful parents are, they keep going back. They keep going back. They still love them. They still are open to them. They still turn to them. It's all they know how to do is to turn to the people that they're responsible for their caretaking, even though when they turn to them, they may get abused or rejected or abandoned or sexually abused. God only knows. You are still doing that.
Yeah, because I feel so bad for him.
I understand it's still dad and he's still a man you love, but there's a difference between the dad that you have in your head, the one that you wish him to be, and the asshole, the asshead that he actually is.
Well, let me ask you this, Drew. This is interesting, and I hope my parents aren't listening.
Uh-oh.
I know they're not. But let me ask you this.
But your grandma might be.
My grandma might be, but I think she may be asleep by now. But, you know, Drew, how many times have I called my dad a pussy on the air?
A million.
A million times. He has never, ever said a word to me about it, and not because he wouldn't. It's just because I know he never hears the show.
Maybe just because he's a pussy.
That may have something to do with it. But my dad being a puss aside, here's what I'm curious about. My parents weren't the greatest when I was growing up, and they weren't abusive. No wholesale abuse, no alcohol, nothing like that, no sexual abuse. They're just kind of not present, into their own ass, and out to lunch a little bit. Oh, my God. I just got a huge blast of static again. Maybe it was my dad rolling over in bed that did it. But here's the thing. I still have an attitude toward them like screw them half the time, maybe three-quarters of the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you had
Okay, but here's the thing. They weren't great parents. They were all right, but they weren't great. And now I'm an adult, and my thing is like, all right, you weren't great parents, and now I'm not a great son, and we're even.
There's two things that occur to me. One is...
How come you need to be around someone who abused you more? And I know
right.
She does.
That's
she
right.
needs it more than I do. If her parents were just sort of mediocre to crappy,
yes.
She'd probably be able to move on with her life.
That's right. You have to. It's the ones that are really horrible that the kids can't get enough of.
That's the irony of it, isn't it?
That is the irony, and I don't know why God set our brains up that way, but that's the way it's set up. And the other thing is you've had thousands of dollars of treatment, years and years of treatment, and so things are a little different for you.
Yeah, but my little different thing is just sort of indifference. I mean, I'm not really cured. It was like,
yeah, you are. It's really hard to predict what you might have been like had you not had the treatment.
Yeah, but I just mean in regards to my own family. Like, they're decent people. We just weren't that close growing up, and now we're not that close now because we weren't then.
I think you wouldn't have been as good at being a bad son.
Oh, really?
You see what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I think I just had a breakthrough. Drew told me I wouldn't be as effective at being a crappy son had I not spent thousands on therapy.
You see?
Yeah, well, I think young Danielle needs to do that herself. And it breaks my heart to see people feeling sort of indebted to abusers. Mm.
And if she can't get it from him, she'll find another willing, abusive, a-hole male.
Let's just try to infuse a little strength into her and tell her you are not obligated to this guy in any way. This guy made his bed. Completely. He made everyone's bed. And as I've said many a time, I don't want to live in a society where guys have sex with their daughters and then the other daughter forgives them. I don't want to live in that society. I don't want to live in a society, it's like this guy who just killed this girl and now he got the death sentence. Mm. Good. What's the alternative? You go over and rape and kill some 4-year-old girl in your trailer and nothing happens? Is that the society you want to live in? That's a scarier society than the one that puts a guy like that down. This is the way it's supposed to be. Please, have some strength. Don't worry about this guy.
And,
thank you.
Actually, I had one more question.
Yeah?
No, I'm done with my rant.
Okay, so like you were saying, if I don't get the abuse from him, I'll get it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, I've been in a relationship for almost 3 years now, and we just had a daughter like 4 months ago. But it's not like he's abusive or anything, but I like do everything for him, and he still like does nothing for me. And I don't understand.
Well, you know what? That's probably the least...
That's the best way. That's as good as we could have hoped.
That's
at this
right.
Point.
If there's not wholesale abuse in the relationship, we are greatly relieved. The fact that he's just not available, we would expect that. Because for you, vulnerability, intimacy means abuse. You would create that because that's what you expect, you need in order to feel that intimacy. And so just stay with this. Try to create stability on behalf of your child. This is Susan, who's 31.
Hi,
Hi. I've been on Depo Provera for about a year now, and I've been experiencing some abnormal bleeding the last couple of shots, which I understand is not normal. And
So you've had the shot four times in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first shot, undoubtedly, you bled like crazy.
For the first shot, actually, I mean, I've been on it for over a year, and the first shot, you know, what you expect to happen happened, which was that it tapered off.
Within
the last two shots, the last two cycles, I started to get some abnormal bleeding.
Susan, just answer my questions, okay? For the first shot, you bled heavily like everyone does, right?
No.
Did you bleed throughout the month?
No.
You didn't bleed at all?
No, I mean, I think I bled a little. It was a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember exactly.
Okay, the first shot, usually you bleed throughout the entire three-month period.
I don't believe so. I think there was a little bit, but not much.
Okay, and then the second shot, usually there's no bleeding.
Correct.
The period stops altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Third shot, no bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then fourth shot, all of a sudden, bleeding returns for you.
Eventually, yeah.
Fourth shot, the bleeding returns.
Bleeding returned.
Fourth shot.
I can't keep track of the exact number. I don't know if it was the fourth, but it was. I'd been on it for a while.
Okay. Well, what shot are you on now? Do you know?
I've actually lost track of the number.
Well, if it's four shots a year,
mm-hmm.
and you've been on it for a year.
I've been on it over a year.
A year and 2 months?
I'm going to guess about a year and a half, maybe, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, so you probably had six shots. And so this last two, you had some stability mm-hmm. for two or three shots, and then all of a sudden, pow, it comes back in. Anything else going on? Did you have your thyroid checked?
Yeah, I mean, I've come out with a clean bill.
Are you on
a lot of stuff.
You're not on any new medication?
No. No other kind.
Okay, are they going to switch you to regular birth control pill?
Well, here's the reason I was asking is because I'm going in to see the doctor again tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I had heard you mentioning to somebody that they have a shot where they give you estrogen also, which should alleviate the problem.
Yeah, but with this kind of bleeding, because it's so persistent through 6 months of this 3 month shot, I would think they'd want to put you on the oral pill for a while and try to stabilize things.
Right.
Try to find the right kind.
Do you have an opinion on this new patch?
Yeah, it's good if you can tolerate it, but I think until you're having complications right now in terms of this persistent bleeding, make sure you're taking iron supplements, right?
Mm-hmm. I take calcium, too.
Okay, and then they'll put you on the pill for a while. They'll stabilize this, and then you can think about the patch after that, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right, good luck.
Bye.
What is this new patch, Drew?
It's just another it's another way to deliver the contraceptive. Instead of orally, it's transdermally.
Yeah, I think I've... Is it new?
Yeah. I'm forgetting
I've seen
it.
I saw it. There's an issue of Essence magazine that's sitting around there somewhere.
Yeah, I just saw that. I walked out.
I don't know why. I think it struck me. I never. Us white people, we don't take a look at those black publications enough, but they have stuff like Wise Whitey Holding You Down and stuff like articles on that. There's a good one in there. I'm telling you, go find that Essence magazine. It's like why white women won't let black women work or something.
Wow.
There's something crazy in there. You got to read that. But the point is I was thumbing through it, and I saw the patch. I saw that patch, and the reason I noticed it is because the model who was modeling the patch was one of the juggies from the Man Show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, good times.
Nice.
It's nice to see him working.
Nice.
Yeah, go find that magazine, Drew. I'm telling you.
During the break.
Okay. All right. Well, we should take a break now.
That's right.
Are you ready to do that?
I'm ready.
Rachel?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm sorry you had to endure all that talk about
abuse and bleeding
and everything.
I just didn't want to weigh in on something.
No, weigh in.
No, but I mean, I'm clueless about this. I'm letting the experts.
You went to Dartmouth. Adam went to carpet cleaning school.
Okay.
True.
Well,
how many times I have to explain to you my qualifications for this show?
Life. Yes.
No, my qualifications for this show are this show.
That's right. That's right.
Do 1,000 calls a year, and after 5 years, you start to figure out what's going on out there. Thank you, baby. Rachel Dratch, dear friend. From Saturday Night Live is in studio. I'm in Las Vegas. Drew's going to go get that Essence magazine. I know you subscribed, Drew, but I don't believe that was your issue I saw floating around Westwood One.
Ebony's mine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm a jet man myself, but we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'll be back in L.A. tomorrow night. And Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live is joining us. Hey, you college folks over there, I got the yellow pages here. I'm trying to look up the cab.
Yeah. Taxi.
Yeah, what do I look under? Taxi? Yeah, look under T for taxi?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. See, I went with the cab and ended up getting lost in the cabinet. Had a little flashback to when I used to make cabinets. I was just staring at these things. Nevada cabinets specializing in commercial and gaming tables. And I was like, oh.
While you were staring at cabinet makers, I was staring at Essence.
Ah, yes, yes, Essence magazine.
Ortho Ever is the patch. It is a once-a-week transdermal, you know, across-the-skin contraceptive. So if people are having difficulty remembering to take the pill, there's a version you can take that's a patch, wear once a week.
Did you see it in that magazine?
Oh, yeah. You got the magazine right in front of me.
Nice-looking model, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's her?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. She looks like a mom.
Well, now did you...
Maybe it was a different picture. Hold on.
You looking there now? Yeah, Drew, did you look at the front about white women holding down black women?
Do you mean white women at work, their privilege, our pain? That one? That one? I love that title. It's very
their
creative.
Their privilege, our pain. Please, would you read that article and tell me what it's about?
No, I refuse.
I want to know what Whitey's up to. I never did trust them white bitches. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
You know, in every third article is about how white women are stealing black men.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems like something you'd like you should take up with the fellas more than the ladies, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know how women are. They blame each other for everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
God bless them.
Yes.
All right.
I'll read the article.
Drew, you can look into that article and get back to us on it. I'm very interested in what their pleasure and pain is.
Privilege. No, they're privilege.
Oh, privilege. Privilege.
Okay, now, right. Remember we were talking about the...
It's funny, there's a black woman who's staring at me through the window right now who works at this radio station.
Well, ask her to get some comment from her.
I'm scared she's going to put a shiv in me.
Oh, please.
All right, let's go, let's go to the phones. Right, yes.
We were talking to a girl a while ago who wondered if it was rape when a guy pulled a condom off midstream and ejaculated around her, and when she'd said clearly she didn't want that. And so here's Mike, who's 29, he's a law student. Can give us an answer on that one.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mike.
Good.
Good. Just want to say you guys do great work. Should be very proud.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Especially when Adam talks about his napping and masturbating. I'm very, very proud.
Oh, yeah. He's a god, y'all, man.
Mm.
So let's see here. I was just actually happened to be studying this today. It's in torts law. Mm-hmm. And this is based on a Michigan ruling, so... You know, if she wants to consult a lawyer, she'd have to, you know, make sure there's that precedent in her state.
Mm-hmm.
But what this says is, one who knows he has a venereal disease and knows that his sexual partner does not know of his infection commits a battery by having sexual intercourse.
Okay, well, that wasn't the question. The question was, he didn't know he had an STD, presumably. She may not even have gotten it from him. The question was the fact that he took his condom off when she had said leave it on midstream and maybe even ejaculated sort of around her or in her, is that some sort of battery?
Well, not if he didn't know.
She said, clearly don't do this. I will not have sex with you if you take that condom off. And she went to the bathroom. He took it off. She didn't notice and pow. Forget the STD piece.
Well, you know, the thing that's interesting is the interruption part. I mean, the fact that she... The thing where you could make an interesting case for rape, I guess, is that she said, maybe not rape, but she said, I will have sex with you under this condition.
Yeah.
And that condition is that you wear a condom. Then he removes the condom, and when he removed the condom, he removed the condition under which she would have sex with him.
Yeah.
So now he's having sex with her with no conditions, which is a slight bit of rape.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's negligence. I mean, she might be able to, you know, the burden of proof would be on her, but there might be documentation there that he knew he had the venereal disease beforehand, you know.
Right. So if you could prove that, then you'd have a case.
And it all happened 5 months ago, and it's very unusual to have male wart documented. Very unusual. So
that is. All right.
Yeah, not unless they come down and burned off or something. All right, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
Bye bye.
Bye.
That's a tough one. Here's a Rachel question. Ryan, 26.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
Hey. Is Rachel Draft there?
Yes, she is.
Wow, I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
I'm not worthy.
Oh. No.
Joke. Basically, you guys were talking earlier about World Series, how being on SNL is like a World Series kind of, and then I'm kind of an aspiring comic myself.
Uh-huh.
I've been watching the show since I was 10, and so it is kind of like a dream for me. But anyway, I've never done stand-up, and I'm thinking about going into stand-up, but I'm kind of nervous in front of people.
Right.
Like, I did a presentation in one of my classes, and I've, like, when I was doing it at home, obviously I was pretty damn funny, but then when I got to class, I was like,
right. Well, I think like part of either improv comedy. I've never really done stand up, but I did improv comedy, which is like the group thing where you get suggestions from the audience. But part of it is like everyone that starts out is nervous. Like it's not just like because you're nervous that means you wouldn't be good at it. Because part of getting used to doing stand up or improv or just performing is facing that fear of being in front of people. So I think that's pretty normal. And all you need is the practice of being in front of an audience or maybe taking a class or something that can. That's a good sort of safe way of performing in front of others without, you know, just being completely on your own because you're with other people in your same situation. So I don't know if in Phoenix there's like improv classes or a stand-up something.
I heard they outlawed comedy in Phoenix and actually all of Arizona. That was my understanding.
Well, I don't know like how serious you are about it, but like if you really wanted to get into comedy, I mean, I would suggest moving to Chicago, but I don't know how practical that is. But there's out there, there's Improv Olympic and Second City, and you can take class and, you know, really throw yourself in. Or LA, of course, is probably closer. But I don't know what your current situation is.
So you worked at Second City or performed at Second City?
Yeah. Yeah, and they have classes there, too. And Chicago has also Improv Olympic, which is another great place to take class as well. And then L.A. has Groundlings and Improv Olympic and a bunch of other things.
They have Acme. I was at Acme for a while.
There's a ton of stuff. But like, basically, like getting in front of the audience is the first step. So I don't know if there's somewhere you could do that, like an open mic thing. But just know that the fear is a definite, you know, it's a definite part of it for everybody. Even me, Ryan.
Wow, even Rachel Trash. Just what a dear friend.
I knew I loved this Essence magazine. Pushing for emergency contraception. See?
Oh, they're pushing for emergency contraception.
God
bless
them. Yes.
Right. But read, find the article.
I found
about
it. I'll read it during the break.
Pain.
I'll read it.
Okay, but now here's I think what Rachel is saying, which is. All the people that aren't nervous that you see on TV were nervous at some point. The reason they're not nervous now is because they've been through so much crap that they're skilled now. It's the same way a baseball player, to harken back to the sports analogy, isn't nervous when he's at the plate. Oh, just got hit with another one of those huge static shots. But the point is he's not nervous at the plate because he played in high school, he played in college, he played in AAA, and by the time he got to the pros, he wasn't nervous.
Right.
So you have to do
and
that
maybe, go
comedically.
Ahead, and maybe in Phoenix, there's like the Giggles Shack where the you know, like if there's like the stand-up club there, maybe they have classes or something. And then you can practice in a safe environment. You know, in front of, you'll be in a group of other wannabe stand-ups, and then you'll sort of get started that way.
Okay, let me ask you guys a more pressing question. I can't find anything under taxi. I can't find anything under cab.
Hmm.
Well, there you go again. There you go.
Checker cab?
Taxi. Well, yeah, look on, well, I don't know. Or yellow cab. Look on the white
pages. I'm opening the yellow pages. Shouldn't there be something under cab or taxi?
And I tried looking under. Adam?
Yes, I tried. I got taxidermy here. I tried looking under transportation, too, and couldn't find anything.
How can that be not under taxi?
I don't know where the goddamn cabs are in a phone book. See, this is what prevents me from being a human being. Because once in my entire life, I decide to act like a human being, which is, I need a cab. I'll just pick up the yellow pages and call the cab like a human being and go out and meet it. And I look at the yellow pages for 25 minutes. I find nothing. And then I just want to go back to carpet
cleaning. What comes before taxidermy on the yellow pages there?
Okay, I'm now flipping around, but you take another call and I'll tell you.
Well, I'm reading Essence magazine right now, so I want you to tell me what comes before taxi. This is a great magazine. It beats the crap out of Cosmo.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. It really is good.
All right, Well, let's see. I got tax, like tax services.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay.
Here it is.
Thank you.
Here it is.
Thank
yes,
you.
Very good.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm in Nevada. I got the yellow pages. And
there's three taxi cabs.
Taxes on one page, taxidermy's on the next, and taxi cabs takes up one quarter of the bottom of one page.
And so what does that tell you about that business?
What if you end up in the taxi cab confessions cab in Vegas? It shoots in Vegas.
To me, it means organized crime still plays a hand in Las Vegas.
Is that what it means? Why?
Somebody monopolizes. There's no free enterprise.
I see. There's just not that many of them.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call these people.
All right. Here's Jesse.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Jesse. What's up? Jesse?
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Good evening. I have a question.
Okay.
I missed my pill today.
Yeah.
Actually, last night. And I remembered to take it, but I didn't take it. I wasn't able to take it till tonight after I had sex. So I doubled up.
Okay.
Just right now.
Where in the packet are you? Where are you?
I'm in the sixth day.
Do that again. You're where?
Sixth day.
Was it? Sixth day?
First week.
Actually, the worst times to miss it are the earlier in the packet.
Oh,
that's... Yeah, the ones that prolong the sort of pill-free interval.
Yeah.
You're getting towards the middle here, which is not the greatest time. You're probably okay. There's some evidence that it can take up to a week for ovulation to reinstate itself. So in general, it's thought that you're okay. However, it's advisable to use a second means of contraception for the rest of this packet.
Yeah.
Some people say just for 7 days. I say for the rest of the packet.
Yeah, so just sit back and wait, I guess, or should I...
You should be okay.
I should be okay.
You should go ahead and take a pregnancy test in 2 weeks just to be completely sure, and you should use a condom for the rest of this packet.
All right. Okay. Just one more question,
yeah.
Really quick. I've been engaged for 2 years now, and my fiancé totally knows how I'm against him watching pornographic videos, and... the thing is that once I found one in his underwear drawer and I confronted him with it, and he's all, well, it's mine, you know. He confessed that it was his, and it was, you know, he let me have the video, and I trashed it.
And by the way, Jesse, whose else was it supposed to be?
Well, I don't know if it was his friends or his,
Listen, it's worse if it's his friends and it's his underwear drawer, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like him finding a dildo and you saying, it's not mine. I'll just keep it between the box spring and the mattress.
Anyway.
All right, so you destroyed it.
Yeah, I destroyed it. We went to the...
To me, that's like burning books. That's like when I hear about the Nazis burning books. That's what I think of when I think of destroying pornography. It's one step away from Nazi Germany.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
How did you destroy it?
I smashed it.
You took a hammer to it?
Yeah, I got rid of it. You know, I didn't want my little brothers finding it in my underwear drawer, so, you know. He knows how I feel about
that.
And also, I left my bag in his truck one day, and I found that his truck was unlocked, so I went in it. And I dropped my bag on the floor, and as I was reaching towards it, I find behind his car seat...
Hooker's
like
body.
Three pornographic videos. You know, I'm like, what the heck is this? So I...
All right. Would you put this loudmouth on hold for a second?
Okay.
Look, I don't want to get into my usual line of questioning with her about what the hell happened and what did your dad do to your mom, but... We all know something's up with the chicks who get a little spazzy with the porn.
Well, no, little spazzy is probably healthy, but crazy spazzy, taking a sledgehammer and, you know.
Yeah. We don't know if it was a sledge. It could have been a mini sledge or a single jerk or a ball-peen hammer or a waffle-ended framing hammer, smooth-edge finish hammer, perhaps a hatchet handle hammer, which is something that I enjoy using. But she probably took a hammer of some form to it. I agree with you, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
And we know something's wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not marry her. This is a woman that has energy. And there's something up. And it has nothing to do with the pornography.
That's right.
And I don't know what the answer is, and I don't feel like talking to her about the answer. But
well, that's good,
don't blame this guy.
Because we need to take a break.
Yeah, and don't pull this S either, which is what all you broads pull, which is, oh, it's not the fact that you had the porn. It's that you lied about it. Of course he lies about it. He has to lie about everything in front of you. Because it's like living with an adolescent. You're going to spin off into space if you ever find out the truth about anything. If you let the guy go and beat off once in a while with his porn, he wouldn't have to lie to you. But you create an environment where he needs to lie, and therefore he lies. So please don't act like that's the part you're pissed about. Should we take a break?
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back after this. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Rachel Dratch is with Dr. Drew in Los Angeles. I'm out here in Vegas. And Rachel, of course, from Saturday Night Live. Well, I called the cab company.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they said, it took about 10 minutes worth of information from me about what suite I'm in and what my cross streets are. And then they said, well, if the cab doesn't show up in 20 minutes, call us back.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and I said, yeah, well, what are we going to talk about when I call you back? Well, call us back. That doesn't sound that promising, does it? I wait outside for 10 minutes, and then after 20 minutes, when I realize it hasn't come, I go back inside and call them.
Perhaps, though, they were listening to you on the radio and noted that the cab may have come and gone by the time you actually arrive at the corner, at the curb.
True, you know, last time we tried this, I ended up just walking down the street.
Yes.
Until I finally had a cab pass me in the middle of the desert.
Yes, yes.
It wasn't bad. It made me feel like I was doing something. Okay, I may do that this time.
All right.
Drew, did you read Essence magazine and find out?
I did. Yeah, it's good. It's a good article. This is a great magazine. What's going on?
What's the title of it again?
It was White Women at Work. But the headline on the front of the magazine was White Women at Work, Their Privilege, Our Pain.
All right.
And actually,
what happened?
There's a good article about how to navigate sexism and racism in the workplace, not just for black women, but for anybody.
But what about the white women?
Well, it just talks about how that you need to sort of play the game of the workplace, and that white women seem to be more attuned to that, and black women need to learn from that and follow suit. That's all. Yeah. It's good advice.
I think they got it in for our white women.
No, it's not one of those articles. That's your good article.
All right. And by the way, but here's the point: it sells magazines to have it seem like it is.
You know
the
what?
Front of it would suggest that.
God bless them. Maybe that's what Cosmo ought to take a page from that and go ahead and sell their magazines and then put some substance inside.
All right. True. Big Essence fan.
Yeah, I am.
And by the way, as I was driving in, I pulled a real power move driving in here. I had the cab drive through a Taco Bell. Which I just thought to myself, you've arrived. You're telling the cab to go through places,
even if it's
a Taco Bell. The idea that I had the cab pull through the Taco Bell was a real power move on my that was a class move, Rachel.
Yeah.
And I passed a big fitness club. It was like Nevada Fitness, and it said, women free. Women enroll free. No payment for the ladies. And I thought, people sort of gloss over this part of society, but there's a lot of, like, women free nights at clubs, and there's a lot of health clubs that let women in for free and stuff. I don't go for that.
But women pay more for haircuts and dry cleaning.
Now, what about insurance? What about car insurance? We pay twice as much for that car insurance. How dare you?
Well,
dry cleaning. That's just because you guys...
I'm just listing little factoids.
Yeah, well, the reason you pay so much for that dry clean is because you wear all that frilly taffeta everywhere.
All right. We got about 1 minute before we have to go back to break. Here's Kelly.
Those dead balls and your taffeta.
Kelly's 18. Kelly, what's going on?
Hey, I was wondering, if I were to get my nipples pierced, would I still be able to breastfeed in the future?
Would God let you?
No, would I be able to?
Yes, apparently you can. Though the breastfeeding already is a difficult maneuver. Women somehow think that it's something that happens automatically, and naturally it doesn't. You have to be trained in it. And having had the piercings apparently makes that a little more difficult, but not impossible.
Okay.
The piercings then come
out. But just keep in mind, no guy likes it, and if he does like it, you shouldn't like the guy.
Why is that?
She said,
why do no guys like it, or why shouldn't you trust a guy who likes it?
Both.
Well, the reason no guys like it is because it's unattractive.
Okay.
It's weird looking. And the reason you shouldn't trust a guy who does like it is because he's into an unattractive and bizarre look and should not be trusted.
It speaks volumes about him.
Okay, thanks.
All right, baby.
Not being funny, Kelly. Being serious.
Good times. I'm just saying, why bother? Listen, you crazy broads with your crazy hair and your big unicorns painted on your nails. Guys don't want this. Why bother? Like, do you guys, Rachel, please, go with me here for a second.
Okay, what?
You're going through the airport. You see some crazy broad with her hair 5 shades of orange, and it's standing up like she's Bride of Frankenstein. And you think to yourself, is there a celebrity? Well, but where did you get the idea that this looked good? Like, when you open the French fashion magazines, do you see the crazy orange hair? Is there any celebrity? When you turn on Entertainment Tonight, do you see any of your favorite celebrities? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Have you seen this hair anywhere else? Why are you doing it if you've not seen it anywhere else?
Because I think, like, they're in search of an identity.
But if their identity is sort of like husky, crazy-haired chick in the ski pants, then they've nailed it.
No, I'm with you.
You're with me, and you're with me on the tats and the piercings, too, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And now we're going to...
I know... Quiet down, Drew.
Well,
I know
now we
got to
go with
guys.
You on a commercial break.
I know. I know 1,000 guys, they go to a strip club, they see the chick with the tats and the piercings, and it's like weird. They don't like it. Stop doing it, women.
Please,
you're
strippers.
It up.
Please.
All right, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Rachel Dratch for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm sorry
dear.
I wasn't there in person to see you.
I know,
but I still feel like we're dear, dear friends.
Okay, good.
Well, now Rachel and I are dear, 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 dear friends.
Right.
Well, Rachel, you're going to be in Los Angeles for how long?
For the week.
She's doing a set.
Shooting an episode of King of Queens.
Ah, I see. Well, we shan't see each other then.
I know.
I thought you're going to be here for the whole summer or something.
The whole summer, which ends in a week.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was over Tuesday.
That's right.
But, you know, when I come to New York next, perhaps I could come see a taping of Saturday Night Live.
Certainly.
Oh, that would be great. Well, I'll call your no-count brother, Dan, and see what I can arrange.
All right, good.
Perhaps I'll dangle some more full play tickets in front of him.
Okay.
All right, so, hey, Drew, call me on my cell phone.
Will do.
I got a lot of time to kill, buddy. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You know, sex is not a recreational sport.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.